find out that I didn't mention Apostle Laramie that I've mentioned since morning, because he's not so much of a catalyst. Apostle is a builder. Mm-hmm. You know, it is looking up to your father that you will learn how to be a man.
Mm.
Yeah. We lost the center of our focus. We lost our ideology. The center of our focus became things. The center of our focus became self. The center of our focus stopped being the kingdom of God.
Mm.
So when we gather as a people, our emphasis is never about the kingdom of God. And that is where the church has lost it. We stopped pushing the emphasis of the kingdom. Even scripture told us, seek ye first the kingdom, and every other thing shall be added. When we gather as a people, when we gather, sometimes we hold 7 days prayer meeting. And when you look at the context of the prayers they pray for that 7 days, it's nothing about the kingdom, it's everything about self. I'm not saying we don't pray for ourselves. That's what I'm saying. But if all of your prayers are focused on ourself, then there's a problem. The church missed it when our emphasis shifted from kingdom to self. That's all I can say, to be diplomatic.
Are there practical steps to take to spark revival in our community?
Okay, the first thing we must talk about is prayer. There is no revival without first a prayer move. There must be a strong prayer move. And this prayer move is not just prayer in ambiguity. Many a times, it's a cry for revival. If we talk about the Welsh revival, it was John Knox's prayer. There are a lot of revival that we've read about. One thing precedes every prayer, every revival, I mean to say, it's a prayer move. A group of persons, one person, somebody stays in intercession and consistently prays to God, crying to God, revive my territory, revive my locality, revive my community. It could be a university campus, you know, revive my campus. I remember back then, why I was on campus, there was a burden in my heart to pray for the land of Ikorodu, and I pushed that burden for, I think, 8 months. I've not said this anywhere publicly. The answer to the prayer for Ikorodu was a man. And it was P. Daniel. God sent Pastor Daniel Olomandi to the land of Ikorodu, and his appearance in that land sparked a move of the spirit. People were praying everywhere, in school, in different places. You know, one thing precedes every revival, it's intercession.
Mm. I want to know, what are the common barriers to revival and how can we overcome them?
Basically, like I would say, the unwillingness of people to pray is one thing that can deter the move of God, is one thing that can hinder the move of God. And we have to tell ourselves the truth that the major only barrier to revival is lack of willingness. Is lack of willingness to pray. That's just it.
And what are some practical steps individuals can take to cultivate a heart of revival in their own lives?
Okay, now on personal revival, perhaps a person notices they're experiencing a downtime, they're experiencing a lag in their spiritual life. Basically from experience, I would share a few. One of the ways to help yourself is find a company of believers that you can always run to. I have a company of believers that we pray together. Whether I'm around or I'm not around, I used to have a company like that. It was back in Bariga. So the funny thing is, when we come together, we don't know who is experiencing a downtime because everybody seems as though they are doing well spiritually. Even you, they are not doing well spiritually. You just joined the whole arrangement because before you know, see this one's flame. We help your flame come up. Scripture said, iron sharpens iron as the countenance of a friend sharpens the countenance of his friend. Mm. So, one of the ways to cause a revival in your life, spark a new flame in your spirit. One of the ways to spark a flame in your heart, in your spirit, is to find a company of believers that you can always plug yourself to. when you are experiencing a downtime, and God has made it beautiful. I used to say there are two sects of ministers in the body of Christ, two kinds. They are the catalysts and they are the builders. The builders are necessary to build your spiritual life. The builders are necessary to keep you, bring you from the point of baby to the point of maturity and increase in maturity. Why they are the catalysts? So the catalysts are necessary when a person is experiencing a downtime in a spiritual life, such as Theophilus Sunday, Lawrence Oyor, you know, Apostle Edward Dutuku. He stands in between as a catalyst and also a builder. There are a good number of ministers I can mention, actually. So aside finding a body of believer, a company of believer to plug yourself into when you're experiencing a downtime, one of the ways to spark a flame in your heart, create a revival in your spirit, is to identify the men that oftentimes they cause a fire in your heart, they spark a flame in your heart. These are the people I call the catalysts.
Mm.
One person that I can say is a catalyst also is Pastor Daniel Olawande, is a catalyst. You know, Theophilus Sunday, sure catalyst. Lawrence Oyor, sure catalyst. I can't mention everybody, I'm sorry. But find these ministers, listen to them, and suddenly you enter another layer of fire, another layer of burden, another layer of desire for God once again. You know? So these are just to mention a few, these are practical ways to spark up a flame, to spark a revival in your personal spiritual life. In your personal spiritual life, find a body of believer. There are people you know that if I listen to this man consistently, I'll be up again. So you, when you're having a downtime, when it looks as if things are becoming overwhelming, and you are just get their tapes and feed on them.
Yeah. Okay. What about studying the Bible?
Yeah, studying scripture, obviously. You know, I spoke about catalysts and building up. The scripture majorly does the work of building up, you know, majorly does the work of building up. On certain occasions, the scripture could serve as catalyst also. Mm-hmm. Let's tell ourselves the truth. But majorly, the thing I prescribed is a sure out. Majorly.
Okay.
The scripture does the work of the building. You would find out that I didn't mention Apostle Laramie that I've mentioned since morning, because he's not so much of a catalyst. Apostle is a builder.
Okay.
So he's not so much of a catalyst. He's a builder, you know. So, and he stays around scripture. The scripture is to build you, to make you fitly framed, to bring you from the point of baby to the point of maturity. I think the whole arrangement is being clear. So,
Builders and catalysts.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what role can mentorship play in nurturing spiritual growth and sustaining revival?
Okay. This one, I learned it from Apostle Arame. Apostle Arame said there are three stages of revival. There is the revival begins on the field, it continues to the classroom, and then it ends in the family. So if this cycle is complete, the flame of revival will never go off. Which to say, what happened in the upper room that led to what happened in the streets and all of those things happened in the community, in Jerusalem and everything. Said it continued into the classroom, and then it continued in various families. Now, one of the ways that this thing called mentorship can help a believer and even help a revival is that it is the system that God has put in place for everybody's spiritual growth, whether we like it or not. I've seen a good number of persons that are like the Mustang horse. They are not willing to be tamed. They don't want to be tamed. So they tell themselves that they don't believe in submitting to certain spiritual authorities and many funny things, as we like to put it. One of the things that we need to know is we are boycotting God's principle of sustaining spiritual virtue, sustaining spiritual growth, sustaining active spiritual life. Because you would see through scripture, Paul will say, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, it's a principle that God put in place. many, and I'm not willing to want to talk about this whole spiritual fatherhood concept that many persons have tried to push away. It's just that we are a rebellious generation, and we are not willing to submit under authority. We don't want to be called to the book every time we go astray.
Okay.
We don't want to be under certain authorities that can knock our head when we go astray. So, but then spiritual guidance, spiritual discipleship, spiritual mentorship, if we'd call it that, spiritual fatherhood, if we'd call it that, plays a major role, and I mean a key role, when it has to do with sustaining revival, not revival on personal level, on a corporate level, because it's how God has designed it. It's how God has designed it, and it's even the idea of the family thing. Everybody has to have a father. You know, it is looking up to your father that you will learn how to be a man. Yeah. So, and that's it. The idea that we don't want to be under spiritual authority is a sign that we are rebels. I'll be rebel, anyone they call it. We are rebel and we want to be rolling stones.
So how can we maintain momentum and sustain revival once it begins?
Like I said, revival begins on the field, but it must graduate to the classroom. When I mean the classroom, men must now be taught. They must be taught the scripture, taught the matters of the kingdom, taught accurate living, so as not to return back to the very thing they left. So it must move from field to classroom, teaching, accurate teaching. And that's where the builders come in. Builders build men. Yeah.
So can you elaborate a little about the field, classroom?
No. This whole field thing is programs, conferences, so like crusades, all of these things. They want a prayer meeting where everybody's on fire and all of those things. And maybe prayer meetings are consistent. People are praying in different places. People are just hungry for God. People are desirous for God. And one thing I didn't say about revival, sincerely, it just crossed my mind now, is that when there's a move of God on it, it's not just a prayer move. There is heightened angelic move. There's heightened spiritual possibilities. Men begin to experience the spiritual realm like they've never before. It looks as if the aim of speed becomes more open, more available to the ether. So all of those things must now be brought into the classroom. Men must be taught how to live, how to be under government, how to be well trained, how to just now the classroom, a proper discipleship arrangement.
Okay.
Men are taught scriptures, men are taught these things. Okay. So it's not just a one-off thing. There's an idea I put a big around it. So it doesn't seem like a knockout. You know, the knockout syndrome goes, whew, pow, and then it fades away. No. So that we will not have been needing another knockout again. So that it can be sustained, we need to be taught the scriptures, taught how to live, taught prayer. We must be taught prayer as a life now. We must be taught all of these things. So that's it.
You made mention about, you said something about angelic move. What do you mean by that? Is it that we see angels or?
Okay, like what I mean by angelic activities, the angels now begin to partner with men more than ever before. Like, so the sick will get healed easily. So people begin to feel sensations, and maybe we are praying, you begin to feel burnings, all of those things. So those things becomes more rampant. You know, like it's just so obvious that they are around. They do what they are to do. Maybe assisting in the sick, assisting in warfare, assisting in anything, you know. Just strange experiences that are not so common before now. Yeah.
Okay. And
not like seeing angels as like those could happen. Yeah, those could happen. Where we are fellowshipping and angels come into the room and you can see them with your spiritual eyes. On rare occasions, you can see them with your physical eyes. Not everybody can actually. On rare occasions, you can see them with your physical eyes. Sometimes they interface between natural realm and this visible realm. Like, it's just like a flash. They come like So some persons have had angelic experiences that they don't even know it's an angelic experience, where an angel comes out of this invisible realm into the invisible realm, and then it goes back. Many times it happens like a flash. You can be praying and then it looks as if a ray of light walks to the wall. That's an angel. He made himself visible. Trust. Those experiences are not things that we really, really, really teach about, so that people don't begin to idolize them, so that people don't begin to seek for them as though that's the goal. Imagine someone praying to the end that he wants to see an angel show himself in the world. You know? So those are just byway experiences. Those are byway products of revival, products of heightened spiritual experience. Let me put it that way, heightened spiritual experience, yeah.
Okay. So I want to know, what is this revival really about?
Like I said earlier, for every testimony of revival that we have, every story of revival that we have, there is one thing that is consistent: a crazy level of hunger across board. Men begin to chase after God, long for God like never before, you know. So the thing is, there's a promise of a generation that will do great damage, cause great trouble to the devil, and manifest great dimensions of God. And this revival is one that carries that prophecy. So, and according to history, there's a revival that comes, according to prophecy, and there's a revival that comes before the end of time. That's why it is called the last day revival.
So that means rapture is near.
It's at hand. Very close. Very close. We might not bow our head out of this world before Jesus comes. Great. If there's a father of faith. Okay, let me call his name. Reverend Chris Akilome. He did his analogy and he said, I think before 2030, 2040, about Jesus will come. I've seen a video like that. I don't know when. I'm not saying a certain year. I'm saying it is very, very close. I feel so strong that even before we bow our head out of this world, the Lord will appear in the cloud and call his people home.
In this generation.
I'm telling you facts. I feel strong. You know, I can't say obvious, or I can't say certainly, but I say I feel strong. And I feel strong. Because all signs in scripture have been fulfilled. All signs. There's almost no prophecy you can trace that was mentioned in the end time that we've not seen. Nation have risen against nation, kingdoms against kingdom, brother have sold out brother. You know, we've seen signs in the sky and all of those things. Almost everything we can talk about. It's time for us to get ready, because God will cause trouble. Let me put it that way.
Sure. It's time for us to get ready and get right with God.
Yeah, fact. Fact.
Thank you very much, Apostle. Yes. Can you share a word of inspiration and encouragement to young listeners out there that share the same passion for the gospel?
Like we began with, in case you doubt, this is that generation. There's a promise over us. Even yesterday, I still did my research. So it does not look like we are just hearing a voice in our head and we are calling the voice of God. I did the research and I found out that even by calculation, the time is now. The time is now. I say to us, heaven is ready. Earth must be ready. There's a great move that is about to surface on the earth. I've been seeing it in my visions in the last 4 days. Even in my dreams, I've been seeing it. God is about to hit the campuses, because the prophecy of revival begins from the campus. For every move of God that happens in the nation, it begins on the campus. Elders of faith, fathers of faith, such as S.G. Elton, has said the campus is the nursery for every move of God that happens. We should say before it happens in major places, it kicks us on the campus, it destroys us on the campus. Something is about to hit us. Something heavy. Let everybody be prepared. One of the signs with which you know is God will begin to pick men that seem as though they are not ready. Seem as though they are not worthy. Let's put it that way even. And God will begin to do great and mighty things to them. Not because of them, but because of him. It's the time where God wants to walk the earth. I've done my research. Scripture prophecy told us that before the earth folds away, there's going to be a bountiful harvest by the devil. I need to tell you, before the devil's bountiful harvest, there's going to be a bountiful harvest by God. And then the devil does this, and then the world folds away.
Thank you so much, Apostle, for gracing us with your time. We really, really appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
I don't know about you, but I feel so blessed. And I know that you have gained a lot from this episode, because I have gained a lot from this episode. In as much as I want this to go on for hours, because I know Apostle still has a lot to dish out from his bowl of spiritual insight and experiences. But this episode has to come to an end. See you on the next episode. Don't forget to like, subscribe, follow, engage on all our posts on all social media platforms. God bless you. Bye. So how can we maintain momentum and sustain revival once it begins?
Like I said, revival begins on the field, but you must graduate to the classroom. I used to say there are two sects of ministers in the body of Christ, two kinds. They are the catalysts and they are the builders.